As we look at the scriptures this morning and we hear the words of our Lord and what he has to teach, I want you to keep in mind as we do so something that is important as it comes to us from our Lord's lips. And that is that Jesus knows very well firsthand what he's speaking of when he speaks of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know that Jesus knows all things. He knows about all things. But my point is that Jesus came from glory to live among men. He came from heaven. He was in heaven for all eternity before he came and dwelled among men and taught and spoke what we are reading this day. So he knew all about heaven. He had been there. He is a first-hand witness. Now, I can teach, I can preach, I can tell you what the scriptures say, but I've never been there. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it is like. But Jesus came from heaven and knew exactly what he was talking about. This is the wisdom of God in sending his son Jesus to men. Here is a first-hand eyewitness of what he is teaching. Who better to tell us about our final destination than God's Son, who has been there from all eternity? So when he came to earth and he began to preach and to teach the message of God, one of the central aspects, one of the central elements of that message is where we go when we die. He taught about heaven. He told his people about the kingdom of heaven, that those who would follow him, that those who would follow him would become a part of that very same kingdom that he left when he came to earth. So this is what we keep in mind this morning, that the good news that Jesus brought, that we call the gospel, has always focused on the afterlife, life after death, and where we will go. It does not focus on the world. It does not focus on the things of the world. It focuses upon where Jesus came from, where Jesus is going, and where you are going if you believe in him. And so that's where we have come this morning in our series on heaven, Jesus' promise to his people. Now, we've already seen the essential fact that eternity begins now. We must know in this life where we will be going as we have faith in him. And we have already considered the Christian's hope of heaven seen in the scriptures. And we are now looking at the promise of heaven. And we're looking here at the promise of heaven as given by our Lord Jesus. We began in Matthew chapter 5 as Jesus began that Sermon on the Mount. The very first thing that he taught in the scriptures in his formal way before the disciples and before the people was that there is a kingdom of heaven. Jesus told them that there was a hope of something better after this life, a place with him in the kingdom of heaven. We turned from that to Matthew chapter 7, and we saw that the kingdom of heaven is the difference between life and death. He warned his disciples against the false religious teachers that were not in the kingdom of heaven and the things that they were misleading the people. But to those who do the will of the Father, they will have eternal life. And that he stressed the fact that there will be a judgment and the difference of those who go to heaven and those who are cast into outer darkness is not religion, but it is following and trusting Christ. So the kingdom of heaven is the difference between life and death. And we closed with Matthew chapter 8 last time. So I'm going to ask that you return there. We just wanted to make sure that we got the central message and focus of Matthew chapter 8, where we made the point that the kingdom of heaven is where all God's people will be for eternity. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we read this a few moments ago, and I'm just going to pick up with what he says to this centurion. Now, this centurion, you know, comes to Jesus, and he has great faith. And Jesus says to him, I say to you, this is verse 10, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. We mentioned that this was a tremendous insult to the Jews who would have been there, because this was a Roman, and not only a Roman, but a Roman centurion, someone in the Roman army. So this would have been a huge insult to any of the Jews, because they hated the Romans, and they particularly hated the Roman army. And yet Jesus says, this man has greater faith than anyone that I have seen in the nation of Israel. Why? Because he believed that Jesus could do what Jesus said he could do. That he did not even have to go to his house, that he had the power of sovereign God and could heal his servant even from a distance. Great faith and great humility wasn't worthy that Christ should come into his home. So this was a great display of faith, and it was a great encouragement to Gentiles, even though it was a great discouragement to the Jews. But in the midst of this, in verse 11, Jesus paints a picture of heaven. He says, I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now you see what he says, many shall come from east and west. Where is that? That's everywhere. Many will come from all over the world. Many will come from every part of the world and every walk of life. And they will be in heaven with, as Jesus says, the greatest patriarchs of the Jewish religion. So it's not just to the Jews. That's the point Jesus is making. This is a Roman centurion, and he has great faith. And Jesus therefore then adds that he'll be there. He'll be in heaven. He'll be with the greatest of the fathers of the faith. Jesus says that he will be there even with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, three of the greatest men of faith in the Jewish religion, in the kingdom of heaven. People will come from near and far, from all distances, from all walks of life, and they will be there in the kingdom of heaven. That's great encouragement to us. We are all here, men and women, who were not of Jewish descent, of the nation of Israel in that sense. We are of Jewish descent in terms of our faith, in fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. We are the true Israel. And that's the point. We will be in heaven with those chosen by God. Now, also I wanted to make sure we understood what he says here, as he says that they were in reclining at table. Here's a big hint to you as to heaven and what heaven will and will not be like. People have, and I say this to sort of tease you as to where our study will go, people have false concepts and false ideas of what heaven will be like and where heaven will be. But this shows a picture of them eating at a table, eating and drinking. We are already very familiar with what heaven is going to be like. We eat, we drink, we recline at table. These are things that will be picked up in our eternal home, in the place that Jesus goes to prepare for us. Gentiles will be in that place, and it will be eating and drinking. So here is the gospel that Jesus Christ came to bring. It is not just for the Jews. It is for all nations. Read the Gospel of John. That's essentially what he is saying. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That verse does not say that everybody in the world was saved by the death of Christ on the cross, as some universalists preaching in most evangelical churches would have you believe. That Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, boy, or girl that ever lived, that's not what that verse says. It says that God so loved the world, not just the Jews, but the whole world, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Everlasting life, heaven. This is the message that God brought through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is life after death, and it's for the whole world who would come to Christ in faith as that person is drawn by the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel, not just for the Jewish people, but for the whole world. This message right here was a slap in the face to the Jewish people. You mean to tell me Gentiles will be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How could this be? How could you just see them now throwing the dust in the air, ripping their... How could this be? How could this be? How could this Roman centurion have more faith? God loved the world that he gave his Son. This is the gospel. This is our hope. This is the truth of God. Now let's go on to the next one. I just wanted to make sure we had that in our hearts and minds from that passage. Let's pick up with some more of our Lord's teaching regarding the kingdom of heaven, and I ask you to turn over the page or two to chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10. I'm sticking in Matthew here. We're looking at Matthew now, chapter 10. As we see, the kingdom of heaven is the message we are to preach. Now in the beginning verses, Jesus summons his 12 disciples. He gave them authority over unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And it names the 12 disciples. Can you name the 12 disciples? Should be able to do that without even looking at the text here. That's something every Christian should know. I'll leave that to your hearts there. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, in response to what we just saw, Jesus does teach and tell exactly as the Bible has said. The message is first to the Jews and then to the Greeks, even as Paul says in Romans. He came first to his own, John chapter 1, but his own rejected him. But the message does come first and through the Jews. That is the Bible. They were God's chosen people. The message of salvation of Jesus Christ always came from the Jews through their sacrificial system that showed through the shedding of blood sins are paid for, and Christ is the ultimate fulfillment. But any Jew who rejects that and rejects Christ is not a biblical Jew. But the message does come to the Jews first. So he sends them out to the people. And what does he tell them to preach? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the same message that John the Baptist preached. It is the same message that Jesus preached. Tell the people along the highways and the byways that the dead are raised, that there is life after death, and that that place is known as the kingdom of heaven. I mean, this is what he calls the gospel. He tells them to preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's the instruction. Preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." If you follow Christ, If you believe that Jesus was the Messiah, if you know in your heart that He is the true Son of God, you are raised to life after death in the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful message. We believe that the Son sent from God is the Messiah, and therefore we will go to glory. Now, as we have been noting all along, heaven is at the heart of the gospel. Heaven really makes the gospel the good news. I mean, the gospel, it means good news. But as we said even in several other messages, if there was no heaven, if there was no life after death, you could be told to follow Christ, you could be told to do all these things, you could be told to sacrifice, strive to live holy, but if you die and you're obliterated, or everybody all goes to hell or whatever, what good is it? Where's the good in the good news? Heaven makes the gospel the good news. That Christ redeems you from your sins and you go to be with Him through all eternity. That's good news. So heaven is at the heart of the gospel, and this is what was to be proclaimed right from the beginning, that Christ will save people from their sins and not send them to hell and instead bring them to be with Him in glory. Why do you think that this message spread so rapidly? I think that sometimes we tend to take this for granted. We're so familiar with it. Oh yes, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. But you know what? Everybody believes that. You ask the average person on the street if they even believe in such things as life after death. Everybody believes they're going to go to heaven. Oh, follow the light, follow the light. I'm going for the light. You know, they all think that when they die, they're going to go to heaven. I really think we tend to take this for granted. But this is an amazing message. This is an astounding message. We need to dwell on this. And this message turned the world upside down. Look at Acts chapter 17. We're coming right back to Matthew 10 here, but look at Acts 17 for a moment. Look to verse 2. According to Paul's custom, he went to them. He goes in and he reasons in from the scriptures, explaining, giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." And he goes on, and what happens is that some joined in with Paul, some joined in with them, with a great multitude of God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. Listen, verse 5 now. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And coming upon the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. And here's what they said. And when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." Upset the world is translated in the King James, and turn the world upside down. And here's the point, you see, the message that Paul was bringing, just a handful of men, goes through the regions and has turned the world upside down. Why? Because it was a radical, a wonderful message from God that if you believe in Christ, you do not die and stay dead. You are raised to new life and you go to be with Him in the kingdom of heaven. That radical message turned the world upside down. We can't even begin to think about what it was like before the preaching of heaven, because we've all been raised hearing about it. But could you possibly think about what it would have been like if you had never heard that there was life after death and that you could go to a wonderful place in glory, in paradise, after you die? if you believe in Jesus Christ. What an amazing, wouldn't you tell everybody? Wouldn't you tell your brothers and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles and your children and everybody you know? And that's exactly what was happening. Why aren't we doing it? Are we taking it for granted? This is a radical, marvelous, wonderful message. And it should be still turning the world upside down. That's what it did with them. I remind you again, look really just for a moment at Colossians chapter 1. We made this point when we looked at this text in a previous message. But here in Colossians chapter 1, Paul is addressing the church at Colossae. He gives thanks to the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. That's Colossians 1 verse 3. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the good news, the gospel. Why was Colossae so on fire for Christ? Why did they have such great hope and love? Because they heard the good news that there's a place called heaven if you believe in Jesus. It's still good news. It's still great news. It's still marvelous news, radical news. When you die, if you believe in Christ, you will be raised from the dead to new life with Him in glory. Now back to Matthew chapter 10. And here's the point I want to make sure we understand here. That this is what Jesus told the disciples to preach. This is what you're to preach. Preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Preach this good news. Preach this wonderful news. And yet, I say again, how opposite is the message that Jesus told the disciples to preach from the message being spoken by many of these health and wealth shysters in our day. What are they preaching? Are they preaching the kingdom of heaven? They're not preaching the kingdom of heaven. They're preaching the kingdom of earth. They're preaching the wealth of earth. They're preaching that you get stuff on earth. That you ought to have more, that you ought to be rich on earth. They're preaching the kingdom of earth. So I say to you again without any hesitation or reservation that these guys are not Christians. They are not biblical. In fact, they are wrong. They are opposite of what men are to preach. They are anti-Christians in their preaching of God's, in their not preaching of God's word. I read to you from Proverbs. You don't need to turn there. Proverbs verse 9. I just read this in my own devotions this morning and I couldn't help it. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. People, that's what these guys are. They're false witnesses telling lies to unsuspecting people who flock to their tabernacles, their domes, thinking that they're going to get rich. It is the opposite of the preaching of Christ. We preach a kingdom of heaven. Our eyes ought to be fixed upon things above, not on things of the earth. That was what they were to preach. That is what we are to preach today. The truth, God's word, sound theology, scripture with scripture, expositional scripture, not this weak, watered down stories, jokes, or health and wealth gospel so popular today? All right, we must move on quickly from here to actually just over a couple of more pages to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, as we see the kingdom of heaven was at the heart of the parables of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven was at the heart of the parables of Jesus. Now, six of these parables speak of the kingdom of heaven, and let's just take a moment to touch on them and see just a little of what they mean. Now, he shows again many, many things from this, and we're just going to touch on the aspects regarding the kingdom of heaven. Look down to verse 24. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said to them, 'No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So he's telling them, first of all, the kingdom of heaven is going to be here on earth for a while in the midst of the unbelievers. The tares, and many of them, look like wheat. That was the whole thing about tares. They kind of look like the wheat. You might pull up a wheat stalk by mistake. Don't pull them up. What he's teaching here is that we are in the world at this time as wheat among the people of the world who are the tares. And we'll grow up together until the end of the age when we will be gathered into his barn. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like, and that's when he gives this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like this. Here we are, the wheat in the midst of the tares. It's not like all of when you get saved, you're instantly zapped up to heaven. We are here in the midst of the tares, in the midst of the world, until the end of the age. And at that time, we're gathered into his barn. It's a beautiful picture. And again, I have to go real quick, so I'm sorry if you want me to spend a little more time dealing with this parable. But this is Jesus saying that the kingdom of heaven is like what we live today. We're living among the world, but there will be a time when he'll take the world away and he'll gather us. They'll be burned up, but we'll be gathered up into his barn. Now, next, the kingdom of heaven will grow from small beginnings. Verse 31. And he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Now people always argue, they go, well, there are smaller seeds than a mustard seed. That's not what Jesus is saying. The point that Jesus is making is that in the everyday planting and sowing of seeds in most gardens, the mustard seed would have been a little tiny thing, much smaller than the rest of their seeds. But yet when you plant that, it grows into a big tree where birds can even nest in it. And what he's saying is the kingdom of heaven starts out small. But it grows and it grows and it grows and it becomes very large. And isn't that exactly what has happened? It started with a handful of people in Palestine, and here we are in beautiful sunny Florida, and we know about the gospel, and we have the Bible printed in a language that we can read and understand. We have all of these things, and there are millions of Christians all over the world. It starts with a small seed. It starts small, but the kingdom of heaven continues to expand and to grow. And believe it or not, I think that there may even be people still being saved who hear the message of Christ and believe as the Spirit opens their hearts and draws them to Christ. Now next, verse 33. And he spoke another parable to them. Did you realize this? He keeps saying in these parables, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. And so here he's saying that the message with the goodness of the gospel will spread and spread and spread through all the world. You just put a little bit in there, and then it spreads and spreads through all the world. The kingdom of heaven, the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, the people who are in the kingdom of heaven will spread through the whole bunch, through the whole meal, through all of it. So now we go on and we read in verse 44. Look over to there. And there's two of them here that we'll kind of put together. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, the kingdom of heaven becomes the most valuable possession, the most valuable thing you can have. It becomes the object above all else to you in terms of value, the most valuable thing. You know, I remember the old adage in selling anything and selling cars, when the customer comes in and you're showing him the car, when the value of the car exceeds the price of the car by 1 cent, the customer will buy it. See, when he sees it as becoming valuable, even 1 cent above the price, he'll buy it because it becomes valuable. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying in verse 44 that he finds this treasure hidden in the field. He sees, he knows it's in the field, and it's the object of his entire desire. And he sells all that he has, and he buys the field to get the treasure. When that merchant sees the pearl of great value, he sells everything that he can to get that one pearl because it is of most value to him. Let me ask you, is heaven valuable to you? Then act like it. Live like it. The kingdom of heaven ought to be that which is most valuable to the Christian. The object of our desire, like a young man with a woman who is the object of his desire, he would woo and pursue and desire to have until they get married and then value her all through his life. At least that's what it's supposed to be. The kingdom of heaven, being with Jesus, ought to be the most valuable, the most precious, the most important thing in our hearts, minds, and in our eyes. Seek first his kingdom. And so Jesus is teaching that it becomes more valuable than anything else that you may have, and you treasure it more. And then verse 47, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up onto the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the good fish are kept with Christ. But so our Lord here is teaching that the kingdom of heaven, again, is comprised of all kinds of fish. What does he mean by that? Not just Jewish fish. The kingdom of heaven is all kinds of fish. People from all over, all kinds of people, from every nation, from every race, every tongue, every walk of life. People from all over will be brought in that net, but only those who are truly saved will go to be with Christ. Where do the rest go? In the fiery furnace. This is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. Christians are drawn in by the sweet Spirit of God, as they are shown the truth of God's Word, and they are drawn to Him in salvation. The fish didn't do much about it, you know that. They were caught up in the net. God does it. God draws men to Himself, saves them by His grace, and takes them to be with Him. But I want you to notice this. Go back to verse 11. Same chapter, chapter 13, verse 11. Now notice what Jesus says as he begins. And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Do you know about heaven today? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe that when you die, because you trust in Christ, because God has saved you by His grace, that you will go to heaven? That has been granted to you by a sovereign, loving God. Praise Him for His love, for His mercy, and for His salvation. If you know of heaven, you are privileged to know. If you believe that there is a heaven and know the way through Christ, it has been granted to you to know. And to be in the kingdom of heaven is a gift of the one who revealed it to you. A gift from the sovereign God of heaven and earth. It is a privilege to know about the things of Christ. And it is a privilege to know that you will go to heaven when you die. That's why, turn back again now, to verse 51. Here's what Jesus asks the disciples after he has said these things to them. In verse 51, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old. Is heaven part of your treasure? Are you one who is a disciple of the kingdom of heaven? And as the head of your household, you bring forth to your children treasures, new and old. Treasures wonderful and glorious about Christ, about the God who created heaven and earth, about the God who had dealings with Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Moses, David. You bring forth out of your treasure these old things that God has taught in the covenants gone by, and you bring forth to your children new things of the covenant of Jesus Christ and what he has taught, that he is the fulfillment of the Mosaic covenant in the ceremonial law, that he is the one who has paid the sin debt by the shedding of his blood upon the cross. And you teach these things to your children as treasure, valued, wonderful treasure, that as you believe them, as you know them, as you hold them dear as treasure, they lead you to him as the Spirit draws, and they ultimately lead you to heaven, as opposed to those fish who were cast into the furnace of fire, where there is, even as our Lord said, gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a good picture, isn't it? Don't go there. I have valuable treasure for you. The most valuable treasure that you could have. It is the pearl of great value. It is the treasure of the most value that you should seek after with all your heart. Sell all you have to get this. And that treasure is a place with God in heaven for all eternity. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the message of Jesus. This is the offer that we have for men. Not the world. It's beyond the world. Not the natural. It's supernatural. Not the temporal. It's eternal. Come to Christ. Fall before him. Cry out to him for mercy. Seek him with all of your heart, for he is the most valuable treasure. And with him comes the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray.